Before we begin, I just want to give you time to just grab your Bibles, because I believe that we ought to have Bibles and we ought to be reading them together. So if you have your Bibles, turn with to the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth chapter 1. And we will be reading from verse 1 to 22. I know it's a lengthy passage, but I think this is where we got to begin as people. We are to come together and read the word of God and not rush through it, but to read it together. So Ruth chapter 1, and if you are there, friends, you can just wave at me, smile at me. Amen. So Ruth chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 1, and the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem and Judea went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Chilion of Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she has heard in the country of Moab that the Lord has visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, her and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lift up their voices and wept. Verse 10, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back. My daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say that I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should have also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 14, then they lift up their voices and wept. And again, an Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Friends, pay attention to these words right here. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death departs you and me. Verse 18, we're almost there, church. When he saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now, the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went afar, and the Lord has brought me back, or has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Friends, I want you to look at somebody in your room, somebody on the screen, and tell them, hold on, better days are coming. Tell them, friends, hold on, better days are coming. Hold on tight, friends, things are about to get better. That is the message we are to hear today. Hold on, better days are coming. Let's pray together. Loving Father, Lord, we have read your word. We have sung some songs or praises. And Father, this time we are before your throne of grace to partake in the bread of life. We are here, O Lord, wanting to be recharged. We are here, O Lord, to hear from the throne of grace. And so, Father, speak to us, for your servants are listening. Father, humble the speaker today. May each word he speak come from your throne alone. In the loving name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I'd like to begin with the questions, brothers and sisters. Have you ever had those moments in your life where you turn to the left, turn to the right, to realize that the world around you is trembling down? Have you ever had those moments where you look around and you ask yourself, where are we headed to? Everything looks like a roller coaster coming down at fast speed. The effects of the crash becomes painful in every way. The crash destroys you emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. See, friends, anyone who's alive today can look outside and see pain and suffering in our world today. And mind you, I want to tell you today that nobody here, no one is exempt from trials and tribulation. We all will experience storms. We all will experience turbulence in this life one way or the other. And today, you and I live in a world where many are wondering, why is God allowing all this to happen to me? Why is there suffering in this world? Why is there sicknesses in this world? And today, friends, I want us to examine a woman that wondered this. The Bible says her name was Naomi, which means pleasant. It means lovely, delightful. I don't know about you, to have someone to receive such a name, it means that this individual was quite enjoyable to be around. This was an individual that people perhaps thought she was lovely because her parents had named her Delightful, Naomi. And the Bible goes on to say that her husband was from the family line of Ephrathites. Anyone who knows anything about this family line, they were quite wealthy. And so not only is her name means delightful, she has a very wealthy husband that comes from a wealthy family line. And the Bible goes on to tell us that she also had two sons. Now, mind you, at this time, to have sons, it was a blessing. Because if you were barren, you were a laughing stock among the people. And so the Bible says she had two sons and she had a husband named Amalek. Now, Amalek's name means God is my king, or God is king. Now, the Bible begins telling us the condition that this family lived in. The Bible tells us that the type of environment that this family was living in. Verse 1 says, it was in the days when the judges ruled. You with me, friends? This was when the judges ruled. Friends, this were a very dark time in the history of the Israelites. Just to gain a little bit clearer picture of what's happening during this time period, all you got to do is just flip to the left one page and look at the last chapter, Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. The Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did whatever they felt like doing. And there was a chaos in the land without a king. Now, can you imagine living in such an environment where everybody did whatever they saw right in their own eyes? This was a time where the nation of Israel struggled to find identity for themselves. This was a time in the history of Israel that every single person was driven by selfishness. This was a time of political anarchy. Friends, the book of Judges describes a time period where the people of Israel went down and down and down, more down the hill. You see, the last five chapters of book of Judges describes the ugliest stories you ever find in the Bible. It tells the story of adultery, civil wars, robbery, rape, murder, enslavement. You see, the people continue to fall a circle of judgment, repentance, restoration, then turn to their wicked ways again, over and over and over. Brothers and sisters, this was a very dark time that Naomi and her family was living in. Even the leaders that God had raised among the people to restore the people back to himself often defiled themselves and compromised their relationship with God. This was a very harsh environment. This was the environment that you and I did not want to raise our children in. This was an environment that seemed to be so dark that there was no light in the hearts of men. And to top it off, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. You can only imagine, can things get any worse? There was a famine in the land. Now, I want to bring to your attention. I want to bring to your attention that this is not how God had wanted things to be going among his people. This was not God's doing. You see, this was where God had promised to demonstrate to the rest of the world his love towards his people. This was the land God had promised to bring them and with the assurance that there will be a flow of milk and honey. They were in the promised land, my friends. God had freed them from slavery, and God had appointed himself as their king to rule over them. God was hoping that these people can place his legion and allow him to be the ruler over them, because he had promised to protect them, to prosper them. He had promised to help them win wars against the enemy. This was a land that God had brought them from Egypt and brought them through the wilderness to this promised land. And now we see that they're on this promised land, but there is all this chaos happening around them. In matter of fact, there's a famine, which means there was shortage of food. There was no harvest time. But we see a people who had experienced God in a powerful way, a people who had experienced deliverance, continue again and again walking disorderly, turning to idols, and breaking the relationship they had with God. And you wonder why there was so much chaos in the land. You wonder why there was shortage of food. Friends, this happens whenever you and I remove God from the picture. You with me, friends? When we move God from the picture, we can expect terrible things to happen to you and I. When we remove God from the picture, it gives the enemy, the devil, access to our lives. And see, when the devil comes into the picture, the only thing he does is destroy. The only thing he does is kill, because the Bible tells me that he's the father of all lies and he's the originator of murder. And so, they have removed God from the picture. And the Bible says there was a famine in the land. The Bible doesn't say that this famine was caused by God, even though sometimes we see God did allow famine to happen as a judgment. This specific famine, we don't know if it's from God or not, but there was a famine in the land. And all we know is that This famine caused Naomi's family to want to escape and go to a different land for refuge. Now you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor, if I was living in such an environment, I too would have left. If I was living in such an environment where people are killing people, there's rape, there is natural disasters, I too would have packed up my bag and left. But listen, friends, God did not ask them to leave, did he? They were in the land he had promised to provide for them. They were in the land God has promised to bring restoration. They were in the land God had promised to be the God. But I need us to understand, friends, God had personally brought them to that land to take care of them. And so they're about to leave the promised land. They're about to leave the promised land. Mind you, the Bible says they were leaving where? In Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. They were leaving a place where they had the bread of life, where God had prospered them. But they're about to leave the promised land. You see, friends, oftentimes you and I, when we encounter difficult times, when trials and tribulations occur in our lives, when we encounter problems in our lives, the immediate response is we want to run away from the pressure. You see, when we go through difficult times, this is where you see some people leaving the church. This is where, when people encounter conflict, they want to run away and go the opposite. So we see Naomi's family, they want to run away from the pressure. You see, we tend to go search for hope somewhere else. We tend to go search for peace somewhere else. We tend to leave God and go search for security somewhere else. You know, I read somewhere that stated that when COVID-19 happened, when COVID-19 struck the world and people started to lose their jobs, individuals started to lose their loved ones due to this disease, many people stopped attending the church. Many people stopped attending prayer meetings. Many people just stopped having a relationship with God because they asked themselves, what's our purpose anyways? Why is God allowing this to happen? See, moments of despair, the best thing you and I can do, you with me? The best thing you and I can do is anchor ourselves in the promises of God. We are to anchor our lives in the promises of God. You see, God had already promised that he wasn't going to take care of the Israelites in the promised land. You see, Naomi wants to leave. Naomi, all she needed to do was to hold on. She was to anchor on God's promises, but she wants to leave the promised land. And soon she learns that was a big mistake. Naomi soon learns that running away from the problem, leaving the church because of conflict, is not the solution. As a matter of fact, unless you and I are running towards God, you won't be able to run away from the devil. Unless you're running on your knees before the throne of God, I don't know where you're going to run from the devil. Verse 2 says, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judea, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Now, I don't know about you, friends. I think it's really ironic. I find it kind of interesting that Elimelech's name, or Naomi's husband, his name Elimelech, means God is my king. I find it very interesting. I find it interesting that his name means God is king. And so, friends, we see that even though his name means God is king, he's about to go to a foreign land where God is not king. He's about to move his family to a whole different land where God is not there. Friends, Where are you running for hope for today? Where are you running for help today? The Bible tells us Amalek is but to leave where God has placed them and to go to a land where God has not told him. Now, I want you to realize they had to travel from Bethlehem to Moab. As the Bible says, they were about to go to the land of Moab. They had to go through the wilderness of Jericho. They had to go past through the Judean wilderness near the Dead Sea and then across the Jordan River, friends. Friends, this family was running from the promised land and returning back towards the wilderness where God had delivered them from. They were clearly going backwards. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, if God puts you on a path, we must continue going forward, even if the storm is ahead of us. Running away, I want to tell you today, running away is not the solution. We must hold on. Now, I want us to see what happens to Naomi and Amalek's family the moment they decide to leave the promised land, to leave where God had promised to take care of them. Verse 3 says, when they had lived in Moab, it says, then Amalek, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now, they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the women survived her two sons and her husband. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this was the devil's doing. I don't think it was God who destroyed her family, because the Bible again tells me that the devil is a murderer and no holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. Where he lies, he speaks his native language. For he's a liar and the father of lies. See, friends, Naomi went to Moab seeking refuge. She went to Moab seeking after bread. Naomi went to Moab seeking after life. All she found in this land was pain. All she found in the land where God did not direct her was losing her husband, losing her sons. After 10 years, Naomi's condition became worse than Job's situation. You see, oftentimes some scholars have compared the story of Ruth to that of Job. After 10 years, she became more vulnerable, more exposed. She left God's presence and she became more vulnerable and more exposed. Naomi and her two daughters-in-law became widows. Now, you have to understand this historically. There was nothing worse than becoming a widow during this time. Widows were often taken advantage of and ignored. Widows were among the poorest people in the land. Naomi has reached the most desperate position that any human being could ever think of, my brothers and sisters. Naomi's world has become darkened. Naomi has hit rock bottom. She has lost everything she held dear. Friends, if you want to survive the attacks of the enemy today, you and I need to anchor and hold on to God's promises today. If we want to survive the attacks of the enemy, we need to anchor our faith. We need to anchor unto the promises of God. Let's go back to the story. Verse 6 to 22, the Bible goes on to say, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them what, friends? By giving them bread. I got to stop there and linger there for a second, brothers and sisters. Friends, I need you to understand that God always comes through for his people. God always shows up for his people. Why? Because he's a faithful God. See, Naomi heard that God had come to the aid of his people by providing them bread. She had heard. You see, Naomi had intentionally left the house of bread. She had intentionally left the promised land seeking for bread in a foreign land. And all she found was pain and sorrow. But now she hears that God has provided for his people. And now she desired to return. The Bible says, now she desired to return. And friends, Naomi had to humble herself in order to return. Naomi had to truly humble herself to return to Bethlehem and come before God's people. Now, there's a whole sermon, a whole message, different message in this text, how we treat those who are returning back. Verse 7 says, therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lift up their voices and wept, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. Now you can imagine how emotional this scenery is. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have husband. If I should have husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? And would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Friends, does that sound like someone who has hope? It doesn't sound like someone who has hope. Naomi is being realistic as much as she can be. She realized her case was hopeless. She realized she was too old to have sons. You see, during this time, God had made a way. He had made a way for widow girls to be able to get married again. If I was married and I died, my brother was to marry my wife and take care of her. But this time, Naomi has no more sons, and she's too old to have sons. And so she said, I have no hope. And so we see once again, Naomi is in a hopeless situation. Her world has become darkened, and there's no way out of this situation. And so the Bible says, then they lift up their voices and wept. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, I love this part. But Ruth said, look at this royalty right here. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Friend, have you found such a friend? A friend that is so devoted to you, even unto death? You may be looking in your life and be like, I don't have such a friend. Friends, I could tell you that you can have such a friend in Jesus today. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that the whole city, all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out far and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from their country Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. I don't know if you were able to catch this, my friends. Four times, Naomi cries out, exposing the condition of her faith. Four times. First, I want us to just kind of pay attention that Naomi no longer have the desire to be identified as Naomi. She doesn't want to be known as delightful, which means pleasant. She doesn't want to be known as lovely. She has become bitter. Naomi's heart has become bitter. She has allowed her circumstance to become her identity. Have you ever met those individuals in your life who has allowed tragedy to become their identity? They identify themselves as depressed. They identify themselves as lonely. They identify themselves as forsaken. You have individuals in your life that they are just not pleasant to be around. And you see, Naomi had got to a point where there was no joy in her life. See, trials and tribulation, the only thing they can accomplish, friends, is to rob our identity, rob our joy. And so four times, the Bible tells us that the condition of her faith. Verse 13, this is what she says: the Lord has gone out against me. That's what she says. God has gone out against me. Verse 20, the Almighty has dealt very barely with me. Verse 21, I went not fall, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. The Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Friends, Naomi blames God. Naomi blames God for all the chaos that are taking place in her life. Even though God is not the one responsible for the tragedies that have occurred in her life, in her little mind, God is the one responsible. God has testified against me. The Almighty has afflicted me. See, friends, this is exactly what the devil wants to accomplish. The devil will bring darkness in your life. He will afflict you with pain and suffering just for you and not to blame God. There's a quote I read from Dr. Jeremiah. He wrote a book called Overcoming Satan Attacks. And I love this quote, and I want you to pay attention to it. He says, the ruler of the power of darkness, Satan, is none too happy about what God has accomplished in Christ. His aim, his main goal, is to destroy the faith of Christians by getting them to doubt God's goodness, his love, forgiveness, protection, provision, and promises. When Satan creates difficult circumstances in our life, it is not just to afflict pain, it is for the purpose of destroying our trust in God. I gotta read that last part. When Satan creates difficult circumstances in our life, it is not just to afflict pain. Mind you, he enjoys afflicting pain in your life, but it is for the purpose of destroying our trust in God. It is for the purpose of destroying your trust in the promises of God. And friends, this statement carries so much truth. The purpose of turbulences in our life, the purpose that you experience losses in your life, the reason the enemy will attack you and me with sicknesses is with the hope to destroy our trust in God. You see, Naomi allowed the circumstances in her life to cause her to become bitter. Naomi has lost sight of God in the midst of her trials and tribulation. But you know, friends, you know what Naomi failed to recognize? You know what Naomi failed to recognize? In all this, in all these things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Naomi has missed that point. In all these things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so Naomi said, I will not fall. And the Lord has brought me back empty again. Friends, did Naomi really return empty? Did she? Did she return back to Bethlehem empty? You see, God has given her a Ruth, the most royal friend. You see, sometimes you and I complain in the midst of trials and tribulation, and we fail to recognize the blessing that is walking along beside her or beside us. Sometimes we say, oh, Lord, you have left me all lonely. Oh, I don't have nobody. But you fail to just look at what God is doing in your life. You see, Naomi failed to see that God had gone ahead of her to prepare the way of redemption. You see, as you read the story, which I'm not going to go to the next chapter, but as you read the next three chapters, you will see that God is already ahead. And he had a Goel, a Boaz, to redeem her. And so Naomi is there complaining. And Naomi is there complaining, but she failed to recognize that there is a Ruth walking right beside her. See, friends, God had promised the Israelites that he will fight for them. God had promised the Israelites that he will provide for them. Even though they were wicked friends, he came to their aid by providing bread for them. The Bible says when Naomi heard that God had come to their aid and provide bread for them. You see, God will not leave you in your circumstances, friends. Better days are coming. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, no matter how dark things may look in your life, it doesn't matter how dark your world may look like, the light so shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it yet. No matter how things may look in this world, there is still hope for better days. My friends, you can trust that there's still hope for better days. Better days are coming because the one who has promised it, the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. You can hold on and believe that there's better days coming ahead because the one who promised it said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, my friends, it doesn't matter what kind of losses you have because better days are coming. All you got to do is hold on to the promises of God. Don't run away from the pressures. You can believe in the, you can trust that better days are coming because the one who promised it once said, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together in the air, to in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Oh, friends, I'm here to tell you today, better days are coming. Better days are coming. We already know how the battle ends. Christ finished that battle on the cross. All we gotta do today, friends, is to hold on to the promises of God. Keep going straight to the promised land, even though there may be trials and tribulations in the way. Better days are coming. But hold on to the promises of God. Study it, read it, meditate on it. And when the difficult times comes, run your knees and claim the promises of God. Let's pray together. Almighty, loving Father, Lord, we live in a world that is full of chaos and tragedies. We live in a world where we are constantly being exposed to the enemy's traps. But you have promised to us, Lord, in your word, that you will not leave us as orphans. You have promised to us, Lord, not to let our hearts be troubled because you have went to prepare a place for us. And one day the voice of the archangel, the dead of Christ, will rise first when you come with your heavenly angels to retrieve us and place us in a better world where there won't be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartaches. And so, Lord, I ask right now that you would relieve your people, that you may come to the aid. Those in our midst who are dealing with a sickness, those in our midst who have a loved one who seek a home, Lord, may they hold on to those promises. Even if they were to die today, they will live because of Jesus, as long as they have a relationship with you, Father. And so, Father, become our King. Lord, may we claim the name Amalek. God is my King. And so, Father, we thank you and we love you. And we just can't wait to be with you in your new kingdom. As better days ahead of us, help us to see that light that still shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.